Blog Talk Radio.
Talk Radio, and this is Talk to Me, hosted by the one and the only, the most fantabulous, loveliest, wealthiest, and most jubilant sister in the world. That's right. My name is Minister Cherie Humphrey, and I am the founder and president of Diamonds in the Rough, Finding the Spirit in Me, and the producer of A Star Is Born talent event. Our motto is Standing Firm on the Promises of God. This is definitely another special, special broadcast. Last time we were on Talk to Me, and I was talking to you guys, we had a recording artist and producer, musician, and singer, Doobie Powell, on. And he is a powerhouse in the gospel industry. Tonight, we are going to be speaking with Stacy Ladislaw Jackson, and we're going to have another special guest on who is an old friend of mine I used to act with, Denise Michelle. So I am so looking forward to this particular broadcast. Tonight we're going to be talking about freeing ourselves. It is a new year. Happy New Year. If you didn't tune in to the last broadcast, I hope everyone is well. I hope everyone is going to be freeing themselves and ridding themselves of toxic things in your life this year, whether they be relationships or things that we do, things that we contaminate our bodies with, things that we may not be aware of at the moment. But I hope we can get around some good people who can educate us, inspire us, motivate us, and we can inspire and motivate ourselves to move in the right direction this year. It may be different. It may be uncomfortable. You may not like it, because sometimes when God is beginning to do something new, it looks darkest before the breakthrough comes and before that light at the end of the tunnel, and you may be in some extremely uncomfortable positions and circumstances to break you to a point that you will take the road that you need to take. And sometimes it takes a little more breaking for some people than others. And so if you are a Christian, you understand exactly what I mean. If you're not, just keep on listening and you'll begin to understand some things. And just ask God to lead you and guide you and to give you some wisdom and some understanding behind that. so that you might be able to grasp what I'm trying to tell you. And I hope that Mrs. Jackson, when she comes on, she could shed some light as well and give her point of view on this particular subject, because I know most of us, we have freed ourselves at this point in our life from something, from someone, from something that we used to do that was not good for us. Whatever it may be, we have at least accomplished one thing, you know, so we can be proud of that, but we can't stay there. We have to move forward. And once I do know that once you get delivered from one thing, God will show you some other ugly stuff about yourself or some things that are not too comely of yourself so that you can work on those things. And then when you get rid of that, there's going to be something else. And then when you get rid of that, there's going to be something else. And this is why it is called a race that we run, but we don't run it with God. I don't know how we're going to make it. I'm telling you. And it's not about the church walls. It's about what's in your heart. It is about having a relationship with the Lord, however you deem to do that. Because you can walk into the church walls every Sunday, three times a week, and you still don't have no relationship with God. Or, you know, so check your own self. I don't need to check you. I got to check me. So we're going to start with some scriptures, because I don't want to take up too much time, because Mrs. Jackson will be calling in soon. I do want to let you know, I'm going to ask you a question, and it's coming out of the book of Ecclesiastes. If you can tell me the answer to this question, you have free admittance into my Running Into the Light 5, which is for women survivors of abuse. It is a workshop I'm giving on February the 10th at the Burroughs Community Center on 2470 Fairfield Avenue in Bridgeport in the Black Rock area from 2 to 4 o'clock. Be there at 2. If you can text me this by tomorrow, the same time, the first person to text me this with the correct answer. My number is listed on this show page, 203-952-9807. I would like you to tell me which chapter that it is talking about. Their season, and there are times for everything, a time to cry, a time to laugh, a time to mourn, a time for certain things in our life, because there are seasons that we go through. We go through valleys and we go through peaks, and there are seasons, even seasons in marriages and relationships, seasons in our life, seasons in our walk with God, excuse me, that we go through ups and downs. And there's a time for everything, a time for something to begin and a time for something to end. And so we ended out the end of the year 2017, thank God. I never want to see it again. But we are starting 2018. So there's a time and there's a season for everything. Text me after the show is over, not while I'm in the progress of the show, but text me after the show is over. You have 24 hours to do this. And you can gain free admittance for one person to be a part of the Diamonds in the Rough experience. We are giving a Promise of 7 fundraiser and awards luncheon to award different community leaders in the Fairfield County area. And also it will be combined with Running Into the Light. So I'm going to move on to Galatians 5:1. I would like you to read that. John 8:32, that's one of my favorites. I would like you to read that. 2 Corinthians 3:17 says, now the Lord, there is freedom. And so, of course, there are some constraints. We have to abide by rules and we have to abide by law. But there is a covenant when you accept Christ, when you receive his benefits as a Christian, when you are walking with the Lord, that you don't receive when you are not walking with the Lord and you have not accepted him into your heart. Romans 10:9-11, you can read that aloud to yourself and accept him into your heart. And on this year, starting on the good foot, And there are certain things in our life that help us to be free. One thing I know is hard has been for me and rough. I know there's no way in the world that I would even be on this line talking to you and have survived 2017 if it wasn't for Jesus Christ. I am crazy. I know that much. So I have to give all glory and honor to him because I wouldn't have been able to make it here today and with going through so many changes. And I know there are many of you that feel the same out there. And so I'm just trying to encourage somebody on tonight. But I'm going to move on because I do got to introduce Mrs. Latterstar the right way because I've been waiting 34 years for this. Okay? I'm going to introduce her the right way. I want you to keep my new book. Jesus had no home. Neither did I. That is the fifth and seventh graders. It is 40 pages long. That is up on my website, which is listed there. If you would like to register for Thomas the 7 running into the month 5, I've extended it until this Saturday. I cannot go past this Saturday. I need your help. I cannot reach the community without receiving the funds that I need. If you want me to keep doing this, many people have participated. You have been a part of these events. This is numbered in the past 6 years. But I'm asking that you please register and do this by the deadline. If you can't come, please donate a tip to somebody. Afford it that would like to be there, or please send us a check to help us fight with this event because I don't have the money. You know, I've been homeless all of last year for 5 months living in my car. God helped me get that. I went into the shelter, got my car repossessed. My friends helped me get that back. Then I got sick. So, you know, I'm still doing it no matter what, as long as you put breath in my body. And he tells me to keep running on. I'm going to do it to the best of my ability. But I still need your help. So, anyway, send in the donations. The information is up there for PayPal and Cash App. I need a male singer. I got one, I think. So please call me if you want to sing and serenade the women. I need 2 volunteers. I need somebody that's going to help me serve the food. And I need somebody that's going to be on the registration table. So if you got time from 11 to 5, tell me if you want to be a volunteer. I'm going to take a very short break. I'm not going to play all of her song, but you know this is a legendary R&B singer who is following Christ now. She is touching many women. She is doing outreach. She has written a book, and she's a fabulous, fantabulous woman of God. And so I am just honored to even have her fall into the show. For real, I've had many celebrities, but this right here took the cake. Anyway, I'm going to play a little bit of it. You know this song. Let Me Be Your Angel, and then I'm going to read her bio, and I'm going to come back.
I have fallen so in love.
That was just a taste, a throwback of Let Me Be Your Angel by Stacey Ladislaw, now Stacey Ladislaw Jackson. Stacey Ladislaw was not yet even a teenager when she recorded her first album. Although she already had been singing since the age of 6 years old, she was well on her way toward developing a vocal style of her own. She was born and raised in Washington, D.C. At the age of 11, she sang before an estimated crowd of 30,000 people at Fort DuPont Park in Southeast D.C., where she was the opening act for Ramsey Lewis. It wasn't long before Henry Allen, president of Cantillion Records, heard of this young sensation and signed her up. Stacey continued on to complete a total of 12 albums during her R&B singing career. That was when I was a teenager. You heard Let Me Be an Angel, Perfect Combination, she did with Johnny Gill, Love on a Two-Way Street, Drip Drop, Where Do We Go From Here, the list goes on. At the age of 13, Stacey toured with the Jacksons in 1981. She was the opening act on a 13-week tour. She also traveled to several foreign countries, some which included Germany, South Africa, Jamaica, London, Bermuda, Japan, and the Bahamas, where she performed with some of the biggest names in the recording industry. As Stacey began to mature in age and mind, her desires began to change. She always felt an emptiness inside that she could not quite understand. After suffering with bouts of depression, Stacey began to seek God. Then one day she dropped to the floor and said to God, "I have heard about you. I need to know that you are real." And she experienced a presence that she never had felt before. Behold, the emptiness inside had been filled. She is fully committed to serving the Lord Jesus Christ. Now she ministers in word and song, and she often says that everything she's been through has made her who she is today. Her husband, Kevin, and her operate two businesses in Maryland. God has given Stacey a ministry for women, women walking with authority. She also has a youth empowerment program where she goes out to schools encouraging our youth generation the importance of integrity and becoming leaders, not followers. Stacey says she's a well-kept woman, kept by the grace of God, and her mission is to share her testimony and the keeping power of God. I introduce to everyone on Talk to Me Radio, Mrs. Stacey Ladislaw Jackson. Hello?
Good evening. How are you?
I'm good. How are you? God bless.
I'm doing fine. How are you this evening? How are things going?
Oh, it is just a blessing having you on. This is my dream come true.
Amen.
You know that?
Amen. Well, that's wonderful. It's wonderful. I'm glad that we were able to, have this interview this evening and to share the goodness of God and just His faithfulness. It's funny because I don't believe in coincidences. I believe that God makes divine connections. Amen.
Yes, absolutely.
And
you know, I saw your book, the picture of your book up there, and I said, "Wow!" I said, "How come I didn't know about this book? Because I definitely would have tried to write to get it so I could read it." You know, I mean, I love hearing stories how people, you know, have gone through what they've gone through. They've had so much success. Not to say that they have not had trials, but that there's a pivotal turning point in their life when they accept Christ. And yes, please just talk about how that happened, and then we'll go back.
Well,
what were you feeling?
For me, everyone's story is different. I started singing professionally at the age of 13. Well, actually 12 and a half is when I recorded my first album. And I went to At the time, I was on Atlantic Records, and I went on to Motown and recorded another 4 albums. I recorded 10 or 12 albums for my R&B career, but I was never content. And, of course, I made lots of money, and I knew famous people and all, but just had an emptiness in me for a very emptiness in me and never understood it. So it wasn't until I just began to pray and ask the Lord to show me what His will was for me. And I just began to pray more, and I used to attend a church at the time, and I just began to grow more, I would say, in the things of God. And one day I got tired of the emptiness I felt, you know, for so long. And you would think that having, you know, money and knowing famous people and traveling the world and having nice things, that I was happy, but I was not content. And that there was an emptiness in me. And I always tell people that I truly believe that we were all created with a hole in us that only God Himself can fill, the Spirit of God. And like I said, I began to pray and ask God to show me what He wanted me to do. You know, and one night I turned off the TV, I turned the lights off, and it was completely dark. And I felt a presence come over me that I never felt before in my life, and I couldn't even explain it. And I remember that the depression was lifted. And I tell people, I tell women especially all the time, you know, in order to hear from God, we've got to get in a quiet place, you know.
Right.
And sometimes we pray, but we don't give God enough time or time at all to speak back to us when we pray, you know. So at that moment, my life began to change. And I remember I said to the Lord, I said, you know, one thing I'll do, I'm going to sit down, and I'm not going to send myself until you send me. I will not go. So there were many years, I would say 12, 13 years, where I just stayed home. I raised our kids.
And how old were you when
now, 24, 21. I was I just got married, 24, 25. I was 25.
Okay.
Yeah, so that was actually 25 years ago, almost 26 years ago. And so that's when my ministry began. I would say about roughly 5 or 6 years later, because I was so focused on, like I said, spending time in the Word and getting to know the Lord for myself and raising our kids. Like I said, that was my priority. I never wanted a nanny. You know, I always said to, you know, when I did have kids, I wanted to raise them myself. So I was able to do that, which was a tremendous blessing. And like I said, I'd never been the same. You know, what I experienced on that floor, I wanted more of that. You know, and I tell people all the time, we can have nice things, nice cars and houses and boats or whatever, but without God, there is no peace. You know,
right.
There's nothing in the world that can
absolutely,
you know, do it. I know for me, everyone's different, but what I tapped into, I simply wanted more of God. And that's when, 2 years had gone by, when we got in a call from Unsung, the producer there, and they wanted me to be on the show. And I was like, well, I don't think so, because I was so content with doing nothing, being a stay-at-home mom and, you know, raising the kids and doing the you know, the home thing. So my husband and the kids that we prayed about, and I said, well, God, this is something that you want us to do, then our prayer is that you be glorified. And that's exactly what happened. I remember after the story was aired, I started phone calls to minister at conferences, women's conferences, youth conferences, and things of that nature. And so it was a different experience for me, because I would have never thought that I would be a minister. I would have never thought that God would use my story and the pain that I went through. And I tell people all the time, many times your pain is connected to your purpose.
Absolutely. I heard that like 100 times. It is so true.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Good
the things
Lord.
That God allows us to go through, you know, it's not for you. And when you're in that dark place, in that valley experience, you never know what God's doing, but God's birthing something in you. He's
right.
changing you.
Absolutely.
He's making you more like him. So that's what happened with me. I simply got lost in God. And I told my husband, I said, well, you know what? If God wants me to minister, then, hey, my answer is yes.
Yes, yeah. I said no at first, child.
Really?
I'm like, you got the wrong one. I'm like, I don't even like standing in front of people. I don't even like the devil, so why are you choosing me? I mean, I just went back and forth with him, and finally I just decided to surrender and said, yes, I'll do it.
Wow. Well, you know, it's a beautiful thing to say yes. You know, the yes, I believe that's simply what God is looking for his people to simply say yes, you know, and to yield. And that's what I did. And, you know, I tell people all the time, what I walked into is so much far greater than what I walked away from, because God has blessed me so much. He has been so very, very faithful. I've not lacked for nothing. In fact, I've been living better since I've been serving the Lord.
My God, so that is you freed yourself. You didn't know how you was freeing yourself when you went in.
That's right.
You know,
that's right. That's right.
But that was when you ultimately became free. You know, that was when you made the 12
records. That's right.
So that's a blessing.
Right.
I mean, and your book, what's the title of your book?
Yes, the book is entitled I Am Not the Same Girl, Renewed. And it talks about some of the music industry challenges that I went through as a child star. It talks about, I was picked on a lot in school because of the success of my album. And I was bullied, and I just had a hard time, you know. So my parents had me homeschooled, which was absolutely, you know, very... those weren't happy times for me. I missed my prom. I missed the high school dances and all that stuff, you know.
Well, you know what? I ain't go to the prom either, girl. It's overrated.
You're funny.
It's overrated.
You are funny.
Yes,
well, you know, it's funny because...
I dropped out of fourth grade. I was like, I'm done. I don't have to bother with nothing. I'm out.
Well, you know, it's just amazing. You know, our stories, like I said, everyone's story is different. But I know for me, you know, everything that I went through, it was for such a time as this. And the platform, even that God gave me at 12 and a half years old, you know, he's using it even now. So I'm grateful, you know, because at that time, I did not like what I was doing. You know, and in fact, it was never even a dream of mine to sing. My mother went to school with Marvin Gaye, and she was in a group. And actually, my mom was the lead singer for the group at the time. So her name was Sandra Storm. And, Marvin Gaye was a keyboard player back then. It's amazing, isn't it? He was a keyboard player. So by the time I was 6 years old, she noticed I could sing. And that's when, at 9 years old, I found myself on the stage performing.
Wow.
I never wanted to sing professionally. It was, I truly believe that she wanted to live her dream through me. Yeah.
Right. Yep. Now, I got to ask you two questions. You said something, and I need to clear up this rumor. Because I heard it, I lived in Stamford, Connecticut. Me and you are around the same age, and I need to clear this up. Because everybody said that they spotted you in Bridgeport, Connecticut back in the day, and that these girls had some beef with you, and they tried to cut you. I need to clear this
Connecticut.
Up today. Yes.
No. Well, that was so weird. You know what I... No. Trust me, if that had ever been true, you would have heard many, many people in my family would have gone to jail. Okay.
Thank you. That's what I'm saying.
I love my family, but I got some family the folk in my family that do not play. I was born and raised in Southeast Washington, D.C., okay? So, that's all I'm going to say. But, you know, it's so crazy because I remember years ago, my manager, I don't even know how that rumor got started, but my manager had called our home and asked my mom, you know, did I get jumped? Did girls beat me up? That was so never true. No, not at all. I don't even. It's crazy
how stuff can get
started.
All around the country.
Yeah, I'd heard that several times, but no, trust me, that was never true. You definitely would have heard my brother got locked up. You would have heard my mom got locked up. I had an uncle that did not play. You would have heard he got locked up. So yeah, that was not true.
Thank you for clearing that up, because I was at McDonald's downtown.
I had to be
13 downtown at McDonald's when somebody told me that. And I was hurt because I used to be jamming the cover of your album.
Oh, my goodness.
Just looking to see what that did. They hurt me. You know.
No, that was never true.
I'm so glad because I loved your music. I loved you as a kid. I looked up to you because you were a teenager like me.
Yeah. And also, I think that would have been on the news, too. You know,
that
would have been on the news because, you know, my career back then, I was very popular. So that was just a crazy rumor. Yeah.
But you know how it is when people are pretty. You know, I had to fight all my life, just like Oprah said in the movie. Because I was always, you know, I was pretty. I was a cute little kid. I was dressed really well, and I had a lot of toys, and you know, and I had to fight, all the time.
Wow.
From 4 years old on up. So I get it because I came from the ghetto, you know.
Wow.
But I'm glad. Wow. I'm glad that didn't happen. But I want to ask you about the picture. You're in a few pictures with Michael Jackson. How was that experience?
Oh my gosh, that was 1981. That I would say that was the highlight of my career. I opened for the Jacksons, and that was the Triumph tour, and just meeting Michael and being in his presence. You know, we did a 36 city tour, 13 weeks, and. He was one of the nicest people that I'd met in the music industry. Of course, I've met lots of people, but Michael was very humble. He was very generous. He was not the monster that many people portrayed him to be. Michael was not a child abuser. Michael never had a childhood, so I totally could relate to that, you know. But, none of that happened with Michael. Michael, like I said, he was a grown man that never had a childhood. So he just adored children. He loved kids. Yeah.
Yes.
But that was a tremendous opportunity for me. And I remember when I was 14 is when we got the call, and I was like, I don't want to go on no 36 week tour, and I sure don't want to be gone for 13 weeks. And so my answer was no. Right. So they bragged me. My mother was like, Stacey, this is a great opportunity for you. Do you know how many people would love to open for the Jacksons? I was like, well, I don't want to do it. I want to stay home. I want to play volleyball, kickball, double dutch, and jacks. Because that's what we did back in the day, you know. That's what we did.
Yes.
But, I mean, you know, I've always been a very down-to-earth person, and I'm the same person I was back then, even though God blessed me with a platform and success and all. I believe that humility is one of the keys to a successful life. I've met lots of people that are rich and famous and, not very humble people. But I believe that humility is important. You know, it really, really is. It goes a long ways in character as well, integrity as well. And that was another one of the reasons why I walked away from the R&B industry. The single that Johnny Gill and I did, Where Do We Go From Here, was number one on the Billboard charts for 4 weeks. And at that time, I was like, you know, it was great and all, you know, that was our number one song. But I got into the point where the music industry was changing. And because of it, it had gotten to the point, I'll just put it like this. They were asking more of me than what I was willing to give.
Yeah.
There were the after parties. Okay, I don't know if you saw my unsung story, but I talked a little bit about that. There were the drugs and things. You know, it was like you had to be in this clique in order for your career to go to the next level. You know, you have to sleep with this person and you have to have sex with this person. And I said, you know what? If that's what it takes, you all can have it, because that is not who I am. I am a woman of integrity. And I'm not, So I chose to walk away from the art.
Right.
No one asked me to leave. I walked away. And that's when I told my husband, I said, well, you know what? We had just got married. I said, you know what, Kevin? I don't know what's going to happen, but I will say this. I am not singing no more R&B music. And he said these words to me. He says, well, you know what? I'll support you. If that's what you want to do, I will support you. And I never looked back. I never looked back, you know, because it was becoming where you
a lot of strength.
It was not an easy thing, but then again, it was, because God gave me a peace about it. And I tell people all the time, when God leads you away, you simply follow him, you know, whatever the cost, whatever the cost.
Right.
So, yeah, and also it was like, it was no longer about singing. It was about dressing more provocatively, you know, and showing more of your behind. And then came the twerking and stuff. So I was always, you know, because of the way I was raised, I knew that dressing that way was not who I was.
Right.
So that's why I walked away. Yes, indeed. And I'd do it again, because it was a good decision.
Right. And boy, I know that takes some. Because I was trying to get where you were at. I did my first performance at 5 in Virginia. Started acting at 7, and I started writing at a very early age. And so, you know, singing, arts, and entertainment was always just in me. And by the age of 13, I was working with Robbie Jenkins as a manager and singing in a group that I had started. And we were going to Kashif's house, and then Kashif wanted a girl group. So I met Whitney, and Robbie said we was in there just cracking jokes on everybody. Kashif and Whitney. I don't even remember this. I'm like, I did. I'm like, But you know, as a child coming in, when you don't have a foundation that is secure, and you don't have the upbringing, we would have been killing ourselves.
I
know there would have been drugs, there would have been alcohol, there would have been everything.
Wow.
Because coming from my background, you know, with the alcoholism, the drugs, the violence, I know that I would not have been strong enough, nor would I have had the support, which is why I started Diamonds in the Rough for the youth originally.
Okay.
You know, 16 years ago, to give kids who are gifted and talented an opportunity and a platform that I never got, and to support them. So, you know, God just begins to open up the doors in so many ways.
Yes,
and like what you said, you have to follow when he says
go,
no matter how hard and what the sacrifice is. You are reinforcing something within me, because I'm a buck. I'm a fight. And, you know, I'm battling some things, you know, because I guess maybe fully I haven't accepted this whole ministry thing. And so you're giving me that push, because I didn't want to let go of the acting. I didn't want to let go of the singing. I didn't want to let go of the things that I wanted to do as an individual.
Okay.
You know, so I appreciate you saying what you're saying. You know what I mean?
And you know, it's funny. It's almost like, you know, you've got to step out of that comfort zone into the unknown. You know, and when you do that, I believe God will meet you there. missing it. There's so many people that are missing out on their blessings because they're afraid to step out of the comfort zone.
Mm-hmm.
Yes, indeed. Yes, indeed.
Yes, and I think I've stepped out a lot, but it's like 10% of me is like, I want to go do this. I want to move to California. I want to start my music career. I want to start my, you know, art career over there. So, but anyway, enough about me. One more question, because we're a little bit behind, and I have my second caller that is already called in. And she's actually worked with Michael Jackson's family and written a song for the memory of Michael Jackson. And the song is called the Broken Heart Stone that she sang at his house. And I want to ask you this question. Where do you see yourself going now in music, if at all? You know, because I know you have your own ministry and you're ministering to women.
Well, you know, I've been working on a worship CD for a while, and I'm also doing some acting now. I played a role in my first film. That was about a little over a year ago, so I'll be doing some more acting soon. I also am in talks with the promoter in regards to doing some shows, a few spot dates. I have a lot of projects I'm working on. Whole lot of stuff.
All right.
Also mentor children ages 9 through 18. I also teach them vocal lessons as well.
Cool.
So, yeah, I'm doing
wonderful.
Some of everything right now.
Wonderful.
But, yeah, hopefully
I'll
have a new, hopefully the single will be released soon. It's more, not traditional, more contemporary,
okay.
I would say.
Mm-hmm. Okay. And could you just give us just a little bit, like a little bit of something, like Love on a Two-Way Street, or just
oh my goodness.
Oh, God.
You know what's so funny? I'm hosting an event here Saturday for a county executive, and he wants me to do Two-Way Street. I'm like, I don't really do a lot of that like I used to, but I'll probably do a little snippet of it for him, his event. But, I'd rather not. But anyway,
okay.
I'll just do like, what, three or four words.
What about that?
True love will never die, so I've been told, but now I'm a sky. It is finally goodbye. I know. Okay, that's it.
All right. Wonderful. Thank you so much. It's been a blessing and an honor.
Yes.
I sure hope you come back.
Yes, blessings to you as well. Blessings to you.
Please say hello to my friend, Denise Michelle.
Sure. Absolutely.
She's on the line right now.
Absolutely.
Hello?
Oh, hey.
Hey,
Cherie, how
are you? What's your name? I'm sorry.
I'm good.
I think that's your
Denise
name.
Denise? I thoroughly enjoyed that interview.
Good to meet you. Thank you so much. God bless
you're,
you
I,
both.
I've loved you since I was a little kid. I love your music, and I love
Thanks
the evolution.
So much.
Yes.
Thanks so much.
Will you be in New York ministering anytime soon?
You know what's funny? I did a women's conference there. I can't remember what part of New York it was. It was about 3 years ago, I would say. Yeah, at a church there. So I'm not sure when I'll be back in the area, but all of my events are always posted on my fan page on Facebook, which is the Stacey Ladisaw official fan page.
Excellent. I would love to see you in person and come to a ministry conference.
Yes, indeed.
Well, thank you so much, Mrs. Ladisaw Jackson.
You are most welcome.
It's been a pleasure.
It was good talking
to
you.
Yes, I almost had a heart attack.
I love your spirit.
Come on, something.
I love your spirit. But you, yeah, let's keep in touch and may God richly bless you in all of your endeavors. And you stay faithful to the call, because wherever He takes you, all you got to do is say yes. And it's such a, I'm going to say this one last thing. Obedience is what brings the blessing.
Yes.
Obedience is what brings the blessing. Amen.
Yes.
Well, you ladies, good night.
Good night.
All righty.
Well, thank you so much, Mrs. Stacy Lattisaw Jackson. I am going to be reading Denise Michelle's bio, and we're going to speed things up a little bit, and I want to play some of her songs. Denise Michelle is back after Equity candidate. Denise is a versatile, trained, experienced actress who acted in a variety of media. Some credits, which include film, Once More, with Feeling with Chaz Palminteri, various independent films, including Before I Self-Destruct, television, Are We There Yet?, Some Under Five Soap Work, theater, / musical theater, includes college and regional, The Music Man, Oliver, Doubt, Big River, On Shriver's Row, Off Broadway, 19 Secrets, Death of an Angel, commercials, industrial, Con Air, Edna, and voiceovers include Chase, Crayola, Sun, Microsystems. Music videos include a video with Taleb Kweli featuring Mary J. Blige, and commercial print, which are various. Also, Denise is an accomplished singer/songwriter who has honed her skills singing in youth event showcases, talent competitions, church, and in nightclubs. She's had a radio airplay on the East Coast, England, and online, a dance song she co-wrote and sang, which featured on Saturday Night Live. Denise has a current book and music project out about Michael Jackson, Broken Heart Stone, world's most famous handprint, Michael Jackson, King of Pop. The song she wrote is called Michael's Broken Heart Stone, which has recently been sung for Katherine Jackson and the Michael Jackson family. Her goal is to continue to grow as an artist and work on film, television, and theater projects in great roles, as well as continuing to sing live and record. You can contact Denise at 203-803-3941. You can also contact her via email at actresswhoworks@yahoo.com or versatile, versatile, songstress, songstress, @yahoo.com. Her Michael Jackson book and music project, where she honored, where Katherine Jackson honored Michael Jackson, she gave her a personal signed copy of that book. And her music included from the author and Denise herself. She sang the original song, Michael's Broken Heart, in front of Michael's childhood home today in Gary, Indiana, 2300 Jackson Street. She felt so honored to sing it for Michael's mother, Katherine, his sister, Rebe, and other Jackson family members and fans. The song is from her book, / Music Project, Broken Heart Stone. So you can see the pictures that are attached up here on the show page, the slideshow, and go and take a look. She has her music also up on SoundCloud. And again, the name is Broken Heart Stone. So, Denise.
Yes. Thank you for reading that.
Oh, you're welcome. You're so welcome. I do want to, after we talk a little bit, kind of going out of order, and play a little bit of that song, and then people can go and purchase it. But a little bit about your childhood experiences up until now. But I do want to focus on your career and what you've done and where you're getting ready to go?
Well, just an overview. The singing is in my blood, just like the arts are in your blood from a young age. It was definitely in my blood. My mother said I was, you know, singing, you know, at like, you know, early, even before I was really talking, I was trying to sing. So that's always been in my blood. It's in my family's blood. Both of my parents were worship leaders. So I'm a worship leader today as well. I love, you know, church. I love, you know, just singing and sharing God with people.
Yeah.
So that's part of my background. But the arts, you know, I've been acting since I was a little kid, and I studied acting in college, and it's just been like a lifelong pursuit. And I, you know, really the stage is my background. I love film and television, but the stage is definitely home. I feel like I really hone my craft on stage. But of course, like you said, I like to do more film and television, would love to do, you know, whatever the medium is, I would love to do it. So God's definitely opened a lot of doors in those areas, and I'm currently auditioning for Broadway. I've had some Broadway callbacks, so I'm just prayerful that, you know, wherever God wants to open those doors, that's where I'm going to go.
And you know what is so funny, Denise, because we met doing a play with the Perry Players in Stamford, Connecticut. We used to act together. And
the Perry Players, yes.
Yes.
On Stryver's Row. That was a really good experience.
Yes, I think Crystal had jokes because she put two divas in the same room together. And she knew that that was not going to work at first. She knew that, but she didn't anyway. And I'll never forget, you were selling purses on the side, and that's how me and you became friends, because I was truly pissed off that she put you in my dressing room for the play on Stryver's Row. I didn't know what to do with myself.
You know, I don't even remember that part, to be honest with you. I just remember that you and Guy and I got to be good friends from that.
Yeah.
You know, Guy Ford,
yes,
who was an amazing actor who I'm still friends with right now, and I know you're still friends with him as well, I believe. So.
Oh, absolutely.
A couple months ago. But yeah, and since that time, we have definitely grown and evolved and all that good stuff. And
yeah,
so I've ministered at one of your conferences, and I'm looking forward to ministering on the 10th and singing and sharing. So
yeah,
that's going to be
a wonderful event. One thing about you, Denise, I admire your drive and your persistence, because past what, 17 years? Or 18 years since we first met, we be bumping heads. It's like every 2 years or every 3 years, we'll see each other at the same audition or at the same event, or something will come up where we're coming back together again. And
so like Stacey said, there are no coincidences. So there's got to be something to learn there, or there's something that you know, we're supposed to do collectively or something.
Yes.
So.
Yes, and I appreciate it. Everybody,
that.
She's going to be singing on February 10th for my event. Please come out. Don't want to miss these dynamic women, including Denise Michelle. So, Denise, you're in the SAG-AFTRA now. You're doing some great things. You've done almost every, we call it, medium of acting that there is. Do you think producing is going to be in the horizon for you? I mean, because you have a lot of experience.
No, absolutely. I'm actually involved a little bit with that now. I mean, I always love being on stage. I was all summer, I was up in Sharon, Connecticut at a regional theater, the Sharon Playhouse, a well-known regional theater, and I did The Music Man, which was a great experience. So I will always be acting at some point or singing, but I also like getting behind the scenes and see. I like putting people together. I feel like God's like directing me to, like, you know, let's go work with that person, or what can we do behind the scenes to like get this person's project off the ground. So right now, like I said, God opened the door for me to connect with Kimberly Rivers Roberts, who did the documentary, was nominated for an Academy Award, called Trouble the Water, about Katrina. And she is working on a new documentary. That was in 2008. And she has a new documentary that we are looking for investors, we're looking for people to get behind the project so she can finish it up and get it out there. So I'm working as an associate producer on that. It's called Fear No Gumbo. So if anybody has any connections or is interested in the project, it's basically about Katrina 12 years later and what's happened and what hasn't happened in New Orleans. And in light of all the hurricanes that have happened and things across the country, it's sort of a model of what happens after a hurricane and what doesn't. And, you know, the institutional racism that happens and, you know, black people and poor people and brown people, what happens to them. And, you know, and New Orleans has its own special set of problems, but I think it's sort of like a model, you know, across the board for, you know, things that happen to poor black and brown people in this country.
Yes.
So I think it's a very important film to get out. So we're looking for investors. So if anybody is interested in possibly getting involved with the documentary, please, you know, contact me.
Right. Yes. And
the other thing in terms of producing, going back to the Broken Heart Stone, what the Broken Heart Stone is actually Michael Jackson's handprint. It's his handprint. He did it in 1984 in Las Vegas. Nobody knew he really did it. It was hidden in the basement of the Riviera Hotel in Las Vegas for 25 years because they were going to use it as a project in Las Vegas that never happened. So it was forgotten about for 25 years, and then unfortunately Michael passed in 2009. And, you know, by providence, the gentleman that I did the collaboration with, Andrew Wilson, who was a world-class kung fu master, and he worked with Michael on a limited basis, he got a hold of the stone. Right now, the Broken Heart Stone, Michael's handprint, is now sitting in the Man's Chinese Theater in Hollywood, so everybody can see it. So the book is about that journey from the basement of the Riviera Hotel to the Man's Chinese Theater in Hollywood. And, you know, Mike, we want to use – and Michael actually had a heart in the middle of his left hand. People don't know that. So we want to use that, and there's actually a crack running through it. So we want to use that as a world. Yeah. It's an unknown story.
Yeah.
I was talking to my partner last night. He's like, it's a diamond in the rough. He didn't even know I was talking to you today. But he said, it's like a diamond in the rough of a story. So I was like, really? You know what? I thought about that. And I was just like, Cherie's going to get a laugh out of that one. So, but it's a story that needs to be told because, you know, Michael has, you know, millions, billions of fans around the world that would love to get a copy of that book. As like the ultimate, you know, Michael Jackson memorabilia, but also we want to use it as a symbol of hope. And you know, Michael always gave to United Negro College Fund and helping children's cancer and just like giving to so many charities. He's like the most charitable entertainer ever. I think he's in the Guinness Book of World Records for that. We want to use that to be able to raise money for these different causes. And I actually work for a cancer nonprofit. That's what I do, you know, my side hustle. But this woman's like she's an amazing integrative cancer doctor, and she has a nonprofit that I help run. It's called, if I make a little plug, www.colmed.org. And she's reversing stage 4 cancers without chemo and just like raising funds for that and helping people, you know. So kind of using that project, Michael's project, to help raise funds for organizations like that and helping children and helping cancer. And so there's a whole component to it, but we really are looking for somebody to help us make the documentary, the story of the Broken Heart Stone that really nobody knows. So that's the other. So those are the two projects I'm really I'm like on the producing side. That's what we're trying to do. And then the song goes with the book. So.
Okay. Well, I'm going to ask you a question because it says you met Catherine, you met Reeby and all of that. How is Reeby doing? Because when I was 16, I got a picture of her that Denard Jackson had sent me from Surface because my godfather used to produce them right in the backyard when I was like 11.
Really?
And my girlfriend,
you know what, it's so funny, she was there too. I have a picture of myself and Reeby, and I forgot to send that to you, because I met Tito in 2016, this was in 2014, and again, this was something I think divinely orchestrated. The gentleman who wrote the book got me to Gary, Indiana. It was just all types of trials to get there, but I got there, and sang it right in front of their house at 2300 Jackson Street. And when I was done, Mrs. Jackson waved me over to come. She was sitting in the front yard of their house.
Right.
And she waved me to come over, and I was sitting right next to her. What a sweet woman. What a sweet woman.
Wow.
And then Reeby was sitting on my other side. So I took a picture with Catherine, and I took a picture of Reeby, and they're like, we really love the song. You know, and they have some – and let me go back to again, because, like, you know, the Jacksons are one thing, and then the Jackson estate is something else. And there's a lot of issues going on there, but we have the free right to you know, license the book and do the documentary from the Jackson estate, which is no small feat. But the family is just a sweet family, just loving and giving. I saw his kids as well, but I didn't get a chance to meet them. But every year she does an annual celebration for Michael, Veritha, and Gary. So it was a lot of other performers and things too, but I got to perform that song, and that meant a lot to me. And you know, gave her the copy of the book and the song, and so. Yeah.
Right.
So we would still like, but it's still hard. Nothing gets done without the lawyers. So that's why we're right now just trying to like get reconnected with them and or, you know, people around them that want to, you know, help get this unknown story out, you know, and get the memorabilia out into, you know, the fans' hands.
Right.
You know,
because
people get very emotional when they put their hand in Michael's hand, because the way the book is done, you can actually put your hand in Michael's hand. It's like embossed and on top of the cover.
Yeah, because you know there are a lot of people who are, you know, they're still fans. I'm a fan, but I liked Michael back in the day when he was, not gonna say white, I mean black, but when he was on the Off the Wall album.
Off the Wall, Thriller, all that stuff.
Yeah, I couldn't do it no more after Thriller. I was done. But
I was always
sad
I never got a chance to meet him. You know, I never got a chance to meet him, but it was great listening to Stacey talk about her experiences with him. And I did meet his keyboard player a few years ago who unfortunately passed away, and he had asked me to work on some music with him. His name is Joel Scott, and he was a keyboard player with them all the way from the Jackson 5. He lived with Michael for a time. He said he was the sweetest man. That, you know, all the things that were smeared about Michael in the press, I never believed it, and that's sort of what I wrote the song about. They built him up to tear him down. You know, a lot of lies and things, and you know, he was. I really feel he was an angel, and he brought a lot of love and healing to the world. Yeah.
So sad. What a tragedy. But he blessed so many people. And that was his purpose, for him to come.
I mean, he's inspired. Anybody who's singing out here, he's inspired. He's inspired most every person that's out there doing it, you know, in some capacity.
You know, there's no country in the world that doesn't know who he is.
That is correct.
And so you got to think about that. That right there is nothing but that's God right there. I mean, no one can say that they have sold as many albums as Michael Jackson. They just can't.
That's correct. Yeah. Nope.
So, you know, he was here to touch many people. But, you know, that's how they do when, like, you know, people of color, they lift our black men up to tear them down, which is why we as black people have to stick together and not have the crabs in a barrel mentality, because no one is going to help us rise up if we don't help ourselves up. I mean, we got to help ourselves up. We gotta stop killing each other. We gotta stop
being
jealous.
That's true, and that goes back to that goes back to being, you know, firmly placed in God, and also knowing who you are, really discovering your history, and not what's just written in these, you know, standard textbooks. You really got to do the digging, and then ask God
for
direction and confirmation about who we really are, and you know why we shouldn't be acting this way. But it's a long legacy.
Right. It is.
Post-traumatic
slave
syndrome.
But I
want to
play your song before they cut the show off.
Sure.
We have ran over, but they've given me a little grace as far as a couple of minutes. But I want to end with your song. And so if you could let me do that, I'm going to play that for a little bit. And I want to thank you so much for coming on. God bless you. Thank you for sewing into this ministry.
Well, you're welcome.
Excuse me.
Thank you. I appreciate it.
And,
I
wish you the best on everything that you're doing. And you have definitely, definitely been making some great strides and accomplishments since we first met. And it's definitely inspiring.
And you too. You as well. We definitely have both. We both evolved here. So.
Yes.
God is good.
Mm-hmm. Amen. Thank you. Have a good night. I'll be talking to you soon.
You too. Okay.
All right, bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
There you have it. That was Stacey Ladisaw Jackson and Denise Michelle. Tune back in. Share the link with a friend. This is Talk to Me Radio with Sheree Humphrey. And please register for my event. Tickets, registration is $50 for the entire event. If you just want to attend from 2 to 4 for the workshop, it's $25. But you must do that by Friday and Saturday. Please tell a friend if you know someone who can invest and solidify funding for this event. Please get in touch with me. Thank you so much. This is Broken Broken Heart Stone.
Left with a broken heart, but didn't leave us alone. Thank you for the touch of your broken heart stone.
Perfect being.
turning people into angels, receiving wings. Fly, Michael, fly. We know angels never die, and they never say goodbye.
They tried to break.